Newsmakers is a production of Wisconsin Eye. To keep programs like this free and accessible to all, please consider a charitable gift to wisi.org/donate or text WISI to 44321. This program is brought to you from Wisconsin Eye's Margaret Farrow Studio.
Hello and welcome to Newsmakers. I'm your host, Lisa Pugh. This weekend, June 10th and 11th, Democrats from across Wisconsin will gather in Green Bay for their state party convention. They'll hear from party leaders, participate in training sessions, and make plans to re-elect Senator Tammy Baldwin and President Joe Biden in 2024. Joining Newsmakers today to talk about the convention agenda and all the goals for the party are Christy Welch, Brown County Democratic Chair, and Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, a Democrat from Wisconsin. So thank you both for joining us.
Thanks for having us, Lisa. It's great to be here.
Yes, thank you. So the theme of this year's convention, Working for Wisconsin, what does that mean to delegates, the people coming to the convention?
Well, it's exactly that, Lisa. It's what Democrats have been getting done for the people of Wisconsin. Whether it's what we're seeing in Washington with lowering the price of prescription drugs or passing the infrastructure package to what we're doing right here at home, making sure that we're giving back tax dollars, for example. But that's what it's about, is talking about our agenda. And we're not just talking about it, we're delivering.
Who gets to come to the convention? Who? What type of people are going to be there?
So the convention is open to anyone who's a member of the Democratic Party. There are delegates and guests, and people are still able to attend as guests at this point.
How many people are we expecting?
So we're expecting about 1,000 people.
At least.
Between delegates and guests. And look, like, something that we really work hard on is being inclusive as a party. So we have a special price range for students, and we're really kind of pushing to get more people involved because we know the more people we get involved, the better. And so this is a real opportunity to bring everybody to Green Bay and to kind of hear more of our priorities for 2023.
So Green Bay is hosting this year. What kind of prep has your party been involved with at the county level?
Yeah, so we're obviously super excited. Brown County is, it feels like the timing is right. We got a big election coming up in 2024. Brown County is, kind of a bellwether county. We're the largest swing state in
Swing County
in the state. And, so we have the ability to impact the 2024 election, and we're really excited about that. And we're hosting the convention, so we're pumped. We're also going to be having an open house on the Friday before.
At your party office.
At our headquarters, yep. Mm-hmm. And, anyone who's attending the convention is welcome to come to that. And then we're going to have, across the street, a little get-together at the Tarleton Theater, where we're going to have some food, listen to some speakers, listen to music. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Can you give us a little overview of the whole agenda for the 2 days? Kind of what are the key things that are happening?
So there's kind of a series of different things that happen. So on Friday, in addition to all the great welcoming events that the Brown County Dems are going to be throwing, there's trainings that are happening, whether it's about how are we messaging in different parts of the state, or how do we talk to different people, or what do we think about with voter contact. So there's kind of a training piece. We then have another piece that works on caucuses. So there's our subject-centric groups, whether it's like the Women's Caucus, the Rural Caucus, Asian American Caucus, and they are focusing on issues that are really specific to that group. And then there, later on in the evening, we go into speakers, whether we're hearing from Congressman Moore or Congressman Pocan, but we hear from Senator Baldwin, and then we kind of wrap it up, and then the next day there's elections for party leadership, and we head on and move forward and get ready for 2023 and 2024.
What are you most excited about for on the convention agenda?
Well, there's some good trainings that I'm interested in attending for sure. And then, I think everyone gets excited about the hospitality suites. So Saturday night, some of the leadership in the party has little rooms basically that you can go into, and, they have themes, and it's a time to, you know, get to know people personally. You know, Tony Evers is going to have a hospitality suite. Tammy Baldwin, of course. So it's time to kind of hang out, let your hair down a little bit, and have fun. So I'm looking forward to the hospitality suites for sure.
What's your highlight?
Well, I think like Christy said, that's what's so, to me, exciting about convention is that everybody from across the state comes together in one place. And so whether you're thinking about your friends in Racine or Kenosha or La Crosse, Eau Claire, Superior, Wausau, we're all together in one place and talking about things, celebrated our successes from the spring, but looking forward to figure out, okay, how can we best continue this momentum and work together and bring that back to our specific communities?
Well, let's dig in a little bit to some of those parts of the agenda that you talked about, Secretary Gadlewski. There's a lot of business that happens at the state convention, and some of that starts in those caucuses. So we're listing some of the caucuses. I think there's 12 that are part of your agenda, and you mentioned some of them: Women's Caucus, Asian American Pacific Islander Caucus, Environmental Caucus, Veterans Caucus, Black Caucus, Disability Caucus, Rural Caucus, LGBTQ plus Caucus, Latino Caucus, American Indian Caucus, Progressive Caucus, and a Labor Caucus. I don't know if I missed any of them, but why are those caucuses important to the work of the party?
I mean, let's just look at the AAPI caucus that we just are coming off of AAPI month. And one of the things that they were working on was how are we passing legislation that is specific to that group. And something that they were working on was making sure Hmong culture and Hmong heritage is part of our K-12 curriculum. That right now currently isn't a part of our K-12 curriculum, but yet we know that the Hmong population is a really important part of our history in Wisconsin and an important part of our communities. And so they were working on making sure that we can pass that legislation. To the environmental group, they've been really focusing on PFAS, these forever chemicals that are poisoning our lakes and poisoning our rivers. We're finding it in our drinking water. They're working on how can we fight for this legislation, educate our community about it. So if you look at based on kind of the mission of that specific caucus, you will find legislation or some sort of policy or educational issue that they are fighting or focusing on.
Do those caucuses represent constituencies that are most important to the caucus at any particular time?
Well, you know, to reiterate just a little bit, you know, the purpose is to, you know, the caucuses have a piece that they focus on, right? And they bring forward to leadership what they're hearing from their members about, you know, what's important to make sure that as a party we're able to keep a pulse on what people want action on. So, I mean, they're all important in their own way, and, you know, it's a big job, right? So they're focusing on individual pieces.
You mentioned a little bit about trainings as part of the agenda. I think there's 10 different trainings happening over your two-day convention. That's a lot of training. Everything from TikTok 101, poll worker training, cultural competency, running for office, rural messaging, deep canvassing, rural power lab, reach training, contest every race training, and action network training. Are there any of these trainings that you see as most critical or impactful to the work of the party?
No, that's why I really love convention, is that there's something for everyone. Whether you want to run for office and learn what that means or what that looks like, to talking to folks in rural Wisconsin and thinking about how do we better do outreach there. So I really like how all of these trainings are inclusive and really meet people and their interests so we can best provide what they're looking for.
You said you were looking forward to some of the trainings. Which ones are on your agenda to attend?
The ones that focus on the rural messaging, I know that's an area that I need to kind of grow my knowledge on. And, you know, so as a county party as well, our admin team looked at all the trainings and we're making sure that, you know, we're sending people so that everyone, that we're able to attend each one and people can pick which one, you know, is closest to their heart.
How do delegates use what they learn in the trainings? What do you hope they go back and do back in their home communities?
So the big piece is that they take this back to their community and almost like train the trainer. You then share this information with whether it's your neighbors, your friends, other activists. But that's, to me, kind of how these trainings are really set up, is we're providing a set of tools and information that then they can bring to their community and then help other people kind of continue to build those skills.
There, one of the trainings on here that was of interest to me, this TikTok training, is that, you know, you see the government kind of moving away from TikTok as a mode. Is that something that's important for outreach to youth, or is there something you hope delegates learn out of that particular training?
I think something that we know is that you've got to meet people where they are. And where are young people? Young people are on TikTok. And so we've got to communicate through TikTok to make sure messages are being sent and they're aware and they continue to understand. And so that's something I think for everyone. And building new skills, I think, is also exciting. I don't know much about TikTok myself, and that's probably a training that I should be invested in. But that's what I think is really great about these trainings.
You both mentioned the importance of the rural training and focus. I know that shows up a number of times in your agenda. There's a rural caucus, there's rural messaging, a rural power lab training. As you both know, most rural communities in Wisconsin are represented by Republican elected officials. Is there a sense that the Democratic Party could do a better job of reaching rural voters?
Well, you know, a big part of why they're represented by Republicans right now is because of the maps and the districting. But for sure, that the Democratic Party has the best interests of rural voters in mind. I mean, we're fighting for clean water, good education, expanding broadband. They make up the largest, you know, geographic space in Wisconsin. Unfortunately, they are kind of difficult to reach. You know, when you just think about like knocking doors, it takes a lot longer to knock the doors rurally. So, you know, we have to approach them in a different way to make sure we're making contact.
Do you think Democrats can do a better job reaching rural voters?
As a fifth generation Wisconsinite whose family is primarily from rural Wisconsin, I will tell you, it's about showing up and it's about listening. And that is something that we are continuing to do and will continue to do moving forward. We saw in the spring election, we were flipping rural red counties in the spring. Whether you're looking at Dunn County or Pierce County, but counties that we had not been flipping in a while. And I think a lot of that is because we continue to get better at how we are meeting people where they are, how we are talking about the issues that they care about. Because look, what's one of the most offensive things you can do is just go to a community, ask for their vote, and leave. You got to always be there to really understand what life is like. And I think we are continuing to demonstrate that message.
Let's talk a little bit about your speakers. You've got a lot of heavy hitters on the agenda for speakers. It's like the who's who of Democrats in Wisconsin here. We have everybody from Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich, DPI Superintendent Jill Underley, Assembly Minority Leader Representative Greta Neubauer was on the agenda, and she's ill. So we have who's her replacement on the as the speaker is, trying to remember, Assembly Minority Leader Kaylin Haywood. That's who the substitute is. We have Senate Minority Leader Melissa Agard, Congressman Mark Pocan, Congresswoman Gwen Moore, Secretary of State Sarah Gadlewski is on the list, Attorney General Josh Call, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, Governor Tony Evers, and Senator Tammy Baldwin. What are some of the key themes, Christy, that you expect to hear from this slate of speakers?
Well, you know, the theme is working for Wisconsin. So we're going to be hearing the tenets of that message over and over.
Working for Wisconsin and kind of going back, looking at accomplishments.
Yes. And, you know, one of our key objectives is to get Tammy Baldwin reelected, of course, and Joe Biden. And then, there's a lot of other Democrats in Wisconsin that we want to get elected. But those are our two biggies for sure.
Secretary Gadlewski, what can we expect to hear from you? Can you give us any highlights?
Well, I want to, of course, celebrate our successes that we saw this spring with a record-breaking turnout for a spring election. We saw the youth vote come out in ways we've never seen before. We were flipping red rural counties. But to me, this is also about the issues that are at stake. I mean, women now have fewer rights than they did a little over a year ago. We are seeing other rights that are being attacked, whether it's potentially looking at rights when it comes to marrying the one that you love, to attacking water rights. I mean, these are things to our democracy. We're looking at gerrymandering and voting rights. I mean, these are the issues that Wisconsinites care about. But the other big piece of it is, let's talk about economic security. I mean, who's actually talking about providing a solution to childcare? Who's actually providing solutions to paid family leave? Who actually wants to make sure working Wisconsinites get a tax cut? That's what we're doing. That's what we are showing, whether it's through cutting, you know, prices for prescription drugs to what we're proposing moving forward. So to me, this is about not just where we've been, but where we're going. And that's where a majority of Wisconsinites really want government to do for them.
You know, you mentioned the issue of abortion, I know, and women's rights. I know abortion was thought largely to be a pretty key issue that helped to support Democrats to win in both the November and April elections. Do you expect the issue of abortion to be a key theme among speakers at the convention?
Most likely, yes. I mean, it's not over. We still need to get legislation passed to get those rights reinstalled. So we still have more work to do there, for sure.
What are some of the other, you mentioned some of the other key issues. You expect, are there any other, pieces of legislation that you see would be a key to the state party to really talk about and try to move forward in the legislature?
I mean, we right now are in the middle of budget season, where the governor has really put forward a thoughtful budget, whether it is attacking things like when half your state is in a childcare desert, and we right now are seeing unimaginable levels of unemployment where people just, we can't find workers because we haven't been able to solve the childcare crisis. Parents want to go to work, but if they don't have a place to send their kids, what are they supposed to do? To looking at, for example, the Republicans are talking about this flat tax. Well, who does that benefit? Wealthy Wisconsinites, not working Wisconsinites, where Governor Evers is talking about getting a tax cut for those that need it most. And so to me, this is about also our economic agenda, these kitchen table economic issues that people are talking about. And so we can make sure everybody in our state can thrive.
When we talked last week about the agenda, we're prepping for this interview. You said there's a potential keynote speaker that hasn't yet been confirmed, somebody exciting. Do you have any updates on who that might be?
It is going to be exciting, but, you know, in order to find out who it is, you're going to need to come to the convention.
Everybody come to Green Bay this weekend,
yes.
Huh? Okay.
Sounds like
right.
A plan. I'm in.
I thought maybe we'd have some breaking news here on Newsmakers, but thanks for that little hint there. Other work that I know you're doing at the convention has to do with these resolutions that are voted on at the local level, move forward through the congressional districts, and then make their way through the party process through, I think it's the Committee on the Party's Platform and Resolutions Committee. Mm-hmm. We're looking at a sampling of some of the resolutions that will be voted on at convention. Everything from addressing public school funding, universal school meals, a termination of fossil fuel subsidies, a gun violence resolution recommending a ban on assault rifles, another supporting creation of a nonpartisan redistricting commission, another that has to do with abortion rights. And this is, again, just a sampling of some of the resolutions that will be up for vote and debate. How do resolutions inform the work of both the party and of, you know, elected officials in the party?
So they start at the county level. Each county has the opportunity to write two resolutions, and then those go to the CD convention, where they're, you know, sometimes amended. They're voted on if they're going to be sent to the convention or held back. So, you know, and sometimes they're combined because people are coming up with similar resolutions. So it's a way, another way to keep a pulse on what is important to people and what, you know, we have counties all over the state and they have their eyes and ears, you know, to what's important to the people in their communities. And so that's how they, you know, inform their resolutions. And then that gets brought up to the state level. So everyone is, you know, keeping tabs on what's important to people.
when you look at the list of resolutions, are there any that stand out to you as particularly important?
I mean, look, something I hear over and over again is abortion. We know that issue is not going away. When you literally are subscribing back to a law from 1849, pre-Civil War, a time before doctors were washing their hands, we've got to do something about that. We are living in one of the most gerrymandered states where our districts look more like letters of the alphabet than districts. And so I do think that these are issues that we are hearing a lot of. But this is what's so unique about the whole resolution process is that it goes to the local level, asks what's really important to your community. It identifies those top two. And then collectively, we work together to really sort out what are those top things at the end of the day.
You know, I know you mentioned the youth vote, and that is part of the agenda. I know some of the young people organizations, college Democrats, high school Democrats, are meeting in their own sort of caucus meeting at the agenda. How important are those young voices and young people in the party right now?
Well, they're the future of the party, and, you know, they're becoming a larger and larger voting bloc. So they're very important. That's a group that, you know, we want to make sure that we're engaging with and getting them excited and voting and, you know, helping the Democratic Party get the word out that Democrats are, you know, they want what the younger people want to have change in our country and in our state.
Are you seeing ways that young people are influencing the agenda of the party and maybe bringing a different voice to, for instance, those resolutions and or ways that the agenda moves forward?
Absolutely. I mean, we are seeing young people that are engaged at the high school level, young people that are engaged in their local colleges or universities, to even in their local party. And so, to me, their voice is so important because they have so much at stake. I mean, Wisconsin is their future. And so we've seen it in different ways, whether it's I was talking to a group of young people who are talking about how important the environment is, and they want to make sure that they're able to drink the water, for example, to young people and the way that they communicate and using social media. So their voice is absolutely critical, and we're thrilled that they are so active in our agenda, and you're going to continue to see more of them in the future.
There's also some elections for state party officials that are on the agenda. I think that's for Sunday. But most of the main races are uncontested. I know that Ben Wickler, state party chair, is running for his third 2-year term. Is there anything to watch in those state party elections? Any surprises, or what's the takeaway from those elections, would you say?
Well, you know, They're uncontested, but, you know, we're still there showing our support. I mean, I, for one, am really happy with all the folks that stepped up to fill those roles. So, you know, while there might not be an election for, you know, just we only have one contested election for the DNC chair. So that part is going to go fast. It'll give us, you know, more time for mingling and networking and, you know, trainings and all that, so it's okay that, you know, the elections are uncontested.
Does that speak to kind of party unity? Are there more people on the same page? Is that why that process is maybe uncontested this time around?
I think it's a testament to how great the leadership is doing in Wisconsin. If you look at the leadership and our elections in Wisconsin, Democrats are winning. We most recently saw that in the spring election, where this was a real toss-up, and Janet Prosewicz won by 10 points, and a lot of that was the party was behind her. And so I think it's more a testament about a great job that whether it is Ben Wickler and the other officers are doing. But I think the other thing, Lisa, I want to say is when you look at our party leadership, how diverse it is and truly represents who Wisconsin is. Whether you're looking at Felicia Martin, who is a woman of color, a county commissioner from Milwaukee, to Kim Butler, who is this the secretary who's from the 7th CD, which is up in northern Wisconsin, Polk County, to Trisha Zunker, who's part of the Ho-Chunk Nation and served in their kind of judicial process. And so it's really a big tent party, and you can see that not just by the words that we're saying, but the leaders who are really bringing us and moving us forward.
Well, just a note to our viewers, Ben Wickler will be on Rewind this week at the last minute, giving us the last minute details of convention. So make sure viewers tune in to that. Democrats have had some big wins this year. You mentioned wins in the spring election, wins in November with re-electing Governor Evers. And there was still a loss of seats in the state legislature. Now in the state Senate, we know there's a supermajority with an override ability in the state Senate. Wisconsin also lost a Democratic congressional seat in the 3rd congressional district. Does that have potential to be bad news for Democrats? Is that a reason for caution as well as the good news that you just shared?
I mean, we know that our state is really gerrymandered, but that doesn't stop us from working towards the values and solutions we believe working people in our state need and deserve. And so, in my mind, the fact that we continue to win statewide, whether it's the governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, to the, you know, to different congressional seats, but we are winning statewide, and yet we're not winning, whether it's the assembly or state senate, a lot of that's because it's gerrymandered. But this is something that we are working on, with working on our messaging and talking about how we need to fight for fair maps, because nobody wants a system that's rigged. People want a system that is free, fair, and secure, and that's exactly what we're working towards.
What's it like to be a Democrat in Brown County? Are Democrats generally optimistic, pessimistic? How do they look at the most recent results?
We are feeling very optimistic. With Janet winning, and in Green Bay, we reelected Mayor Eric Genrich. And those were two huge wins. We were super excited about it. Election night was a really fun night, tears of joy and dancing. but we also know that we can't just sit back and rest on our heels, that there's a lot of hard work left to be done. And, you know, the other side is going to be working very hard to undo the wins that we've gotten. So it feels good, though, to work from a position of momentum and, you know, celebration. But, you know, we know that we have a lot of work ahead, and we need to, you know, keep our nose to the grindstone and keep doing all the hard work so that we can keep building on this.
2024 will be a big year, general election year, with a presidential race on the ticket. Convention for the GOP in Milwaukee, Democrats National Convention in Chicago. How is the Wisconsin Democratic Party preparing for 2024?
Well, we are excited because we know the road to the White House runs through Wisconsin, and that work starts today. So that's why you are seeing us get excited in an off year about what lies ahead in 2024, because we know that in order to communicate, to meet people, we've got to start today. And that's really what this convention is doing, is kicking that off.
The GOP state convention happens the week after this weekend. Will Democrats be watching that convention? Do you have an expectation for what might be happening in La Crosse?
I mean, we'll keep an eye on it. I can't say I'm going to spend too much time paying attention to their convention. We've got a lot of work to do.
Do you have any thoughts on what might be happening in their convention or how you might respond?
I didn't even know where their convention was going to be held at, Lisa. So, no, I think we've got a lot of work to do, and so we're just putting our head down and doing the work.
Predictions for Democrats in 2024?
I think we're going to kick butt. We're going to reelect Tammy Baldwin. We're going to reelect Joe Biden. And we've got a lot of down-ballot races as well, and we're going in with a lot of momentum, so I think we're going to get a lot of good turnout, and people, I think, are starting to see more and more that if you vote Republican, then that's the way of getting rights taken away from you, and so you come to the Democratic side. We are actually want to help the working people of Wisconsin.
Do you have any predictions for 2024?
One of my predictions, Lisa, is that we're going to see an even stronger turnout when it comes to young people. I mean, the motivation that we saw in a spring election for young people was incredible. And knowing what is at stake, whether it is their rights when it comes to abortion, to their rights when it comes to marriage, I mean, there is a lot to the environment. They are so motivated that if we thought the turnout was good this spring, we haven't seen anything yet. And in 2024, we're going to see even more.
Well, thank you to both for joining Newsmakers, and good luck in your convention this weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you to the viewers of Newsmakers. Be sure to tune in again as we highlight the issues and sit down with the decision makers who make a difference for all of us.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civic broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.